Welcome to Sling Stones, a podcast with insights for the Christian journey. And now your host, Terry Wardle.
As always, I hope you're doing well today. I want to remind you about our website and our Facebook page. Those are some ways in which you can connect to our seminars and other resources, and I've said that many, many times. I'd also really, well, you could do me a favor. If you tell some people about these podcasts, if you're enjoying them, get them connected with Sling Stones, it would be great to know that they're taking advantage of this, because I think there's something here that, well, can help people on their Christian journey. So it was just a couple podcasts ago that we finished up a little three-part series on liturgy, bringing liturgy into life. And we talked about invocation, doxology, and benediction. And I was pretty sure that those were, if you will, the four acts of liturgy that often happen in a local church that would be good for us to embrace in our day-to-day lives. Great. Well, as often happens, all of a sudden I felt prodded to, well, if you will, add a fourth. I think there's a fourth activity that takes place in the life of a local church at one level or another that we need to think a little bit about and be able to figure out how to embrace it on a day-to-day issue in our lives. And that is not only invocation, doxology, and benediction, but how about offering? Again, referring back to my little church in Gastonville, Pennsylvania, offering is something that happened week by week. The men, usually dressed in their suit and tie, would pass out these brass offering plates that went around to all the people, and many people put in checks or cash or envelopes. And then there came a point at which they were walked up the front aisle as the whole congregation sings the doxology, and then those plates were taken, and they were placed on the table of the Lord, which in our little local church was called the altar. They placed them on the altar. I think every church, one way or another, encourages folks to give financial gifts to the local church. Some people do, just as I've said. They take up a collection in some degree or another sometime during the service. Some other people have now moved to putting, you know, a box in the back or telling people they can do it online. And the argument is that they do it that way because they don't want to feel people offended because so many churches and organizations do nothing but beg for money. Well, I do know a lot of churches and organizations do little more than beg for money, but I don't personally think the answer to that is getting rid of the act of offering as a liturgy. I've even been to congregations where they say, and now it's time to take up the collection. Well, fine, but let me talk about that. You see, I think the offering is a very, very important act in the life of the local church and the individual, because it is a response to God's self-giving. See, Genesis 12 says, I am blessed, therefore I will be a blessing. And presenting an offering before the Lord, giving as you are able, it's an act of worship in response to God's self-giving. See, God gave an offering, and the offering was Jesus Christ. And it cost him everything. And now, on a Sunday morning or in our day-to-day lives, as we have opportunity to invest in the kingdom financially, it's to be an act of liturgy and a response to God's self-giving. And it should be something that's done with a great sense of joy and celebration, because we do it in light of all that God has done. When I had a church out in California, and my associate pastor, Ron Walborn, was so important to getting that church off the ground. We moved the offering at one point to the very last thing we did. Yeah, see, we would worship all morning and preach the word and people would receive prayer. And then the last thing we did was to come before the Lord and respond to his giving with our giving. And to be honest with you, people seemed to like it. They had meaning to it. It wasn't just putting money in a plate to pay the bills. It was an act of worship in response to God's self-giving. So, if you will, let me tell you a little story. Years ago, this is a long, long time ago, when I was a young pastor, just starting out, probably 1977, I met a wonderful older gentleman. His name was Jack McAdoo, and everybody knew him as Uncle Jack, Uncle Jack McAdoo. The kids loved him. He would run camps. He had a local church. Very kind-hearted man, loved to win people to Jesus, loved to tell them the story of the gospel. Now, he did something that really amazed me. When Uncle Jack would take in a member to his church, he would have them stand in a giant offering plate. It was huge. And people would bring it in, and he'd put it right in front. And as they became a member, they would receive membership into the community of Christ by standing in an offering plate. And then he would talk to them about that and say, you know, when you become a Christian, you are now responding to God's self-giving, and you're offering your life as a response to the offering of Christ's life. And he would explain that as there they were standing in this offering plate. And then he said this, remember from now on, when you're in a worship service and you see a plate like this go past and you feel compelled of the Lord to put some finances in that, some resource, some gift, remember that it's a response that represents the giving of your entire life. Well, that's biblical. I see that in Luke chapter 14, where Jesus talks about everything we have belongs to him. And so Uncle Jack just found this very practical way to do that. I was enamored by it. I never actually did it in my own congregation, but I tell you what, I've talked about it many, many times over the past 40 plus years. And I know that Uncle Jack is now with Jesus, and I am sure that there are a lot of people that would say that that act had a great impact on their own understanding of discipleship, that when we become a member of the community of Christ, we are offering our very lives in response to the cross of Christ, and that whenever an offering plate goes by, as we place a gift in it, we recognize that that gift is a representation of the giving of our whole lives. I think that would help us on a day-to-day basis to look at that way. That all of life now is a gift that's ours in Christ, and that we have the opportunity to be generous, not just on Sunday, but any given day, generous with our words, generous with our blessings, generous with our affirmation, generous with our encouragement, yes, generous with our resources in order to see the kingdom of God advance, because now we get to participate in that. So there's a church I love to attend. It's in Raleigh. I've had the opportunity to preach there 5 years in a row at the Warrior Connection. It's a wonderful congregation, predominantly African-American, but not exclusively. And one of my favorite moments in the entire worship, which the whole worship is unbelievably tremendous, if you're ever in Raleigh, go to the Berean Baptist Church in Raleigh at the Garden. That's where they hold it. And you will have a phenomenal time. But I was impacted the very first time I saw this. When it comes time to give the presentation of tithes and the giving of offerings, they divide those two out. There's tithes and the giving of offerings. The pastor comes up, and they've just had this great worship and announcements and prayer, and then with all kinds of joy, he says, "It's giving time," as though it's the most exciting moment in the life of the congregation. And you know what? People begin to smile. Joy comes across their faces. And the way they do it is individuals actually walk forward, and there at the table of the Lord, they have a container that they place their tithes and the giving of their offerings before the Lord. And they do it while songs of joy are being sung, and they're excited, and sometimes someone breaks out into a little dance in response because they see the giving of offering as a symbol of their joyful response to what Christ has done for them. I love it. I think this is one of the reasons that Scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. It's not that they're cheerful in the giving, they're cheerful because of why they're giving, because it's an act of gratitude, a deep act of gratitude in light of the work of God in their lives. I think that's an absolute exciting way to begin to look at the liturgy of offering. Now, how do you bring that in your day-to-day life? Well, one is really think about ways in which you can be generous in your response to the self-giving of God. Generous in helping a neighbor, generous in participating in a food drive, generous in serving on some community project that's going to help broken people. Certainly generous in the giving of your money to your local church and to organizations. You know, we have an organization called Healing Care Ministries International. It's the not-for-profit arm of the ministry we do. And it's wonderful to see all these individuals that are so touched by what God has done in their lives and has healed them that they end up giving what I would consider to be generous and sacrificial gifts to help other people. And why would they do that? Because it's their response to the self-giving of God. So here's my challenge. What if we took a different look at offering? That offering is not a time where people on Sunday morning are trying to collect money, but instead it's an opportunity for us to respond to the offering of our whole lives to Christ in light of the fact that He has certainly offered His whole life to us. God is good. He's been lavish. He's been generous. And I think that's one of the reasons that He loves a cheerful giver, because He sees that the cheer is coming out of their deep gratitude and thanks for all that God has done with them. Think about adding offering as another act of liturgy in your life. May God bless you.